It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24-7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
It was on this day, some 240 years ago today, that the Battle of Yorktown finished up. And when the Battle of Yorktown finished, the American colonists had beaten a far superior British force led by General Lord Cornwallis. As the Americans had encircled the British and they offered up their surrender, they marched out, laying down their weapons while the British Army Band played an old British ballad called "The World Turned Upside Down." It was at the time. We've seen plenty of things turned upside down in the sports world since then. And there are many folks trying to get the world back on track. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. Glad to have you with us. Forgive my missive and just kind of meandering there back into history. It was a, he said, like Dan said, where's this going? It was going to the fact that they were playing "The World Turned Upside Down." And I know for a lot of Longhorn football fans, they feel like the world's turned upside down. However, there are efforts underway to right the ship, if you will, or at least to turn things back around. It was just a day marked in history. It was the day that, truly, in terms of serious battle engagements, ended the Revolutionary War and established at least those colonies as a free and independent nation. They didn't truly become the full United States of America until the Constitution was offered was authored 6 years later. They operated under the loosely defined Articles of Confederation for 6 years. But it was the major battle that put the 13 colonies over the hump, so to speak, against the British. So that's where that's going. That's exactly right. Hypocrite says, are we the baddies? I hope not. I hope things are okay with this. And as Dan says, and I love this, I get it. What seems impossible can be possible. Absolutely. So there we are. And then, and female listeners says, the convergence of Craig Way and Lin-Manuel Miranda. Because, nicely done, female listener 17, one little known part of that battle, I mean, we think of George Washington and the French Admiral Rochambeau, and they encircled the British fleet out in Chesapeake Bay and didn't allow them to penetrate, and Cornwallis couldn't be relieved and all this. One little known part of it was a young general trying to make his way in the world, commander trying to make his way in the world, was none other than Alexander Hamilton. And he got command of one force, and he got the British to surrender one part of the redoubt, one of the forts area there. And they did it with very few casualties and did it during the cover of night. And so, yes, that was all part of, if you've seen Hamilton, you know that, there's his heroism at Yorktown is defined there. Okay, enough American history for one day. I get it. I understand. But it was 240 years ago today. That's why October 19, 1781, when it happened. So we mark that date. But there's a lot of other things to mark as well. Notably in that is that Jeff Howe is out today. This is a little bit of an interesting week, not only on the radio station, but really around the greater Austin, Central Texas area. I've noticed and talked to some folks, they're using this week to try to get caught up on some things and take care of some things, because it is, after all, an open date week on the Texas Longhorn football schedule. And now the Longhorns themselves are trying to get caught up in their own way. They're practicing throughout the course of the week. They're trying to get better. You know, you heard from the news conference yesterday that Coach Sark said that guys are banged up. They're trying to get – we'll hear from him coming up around the bottom of the hour in our Longhorn notebook that there's those kinds of things that they're trying to do. So they're grinding, going about their business. But several others of us have other items that we're also tending to today and tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. So Jeff Howell is out today. He's taking care of some business. And then Jeff will be back tomorrow. And then Jeff will guide you through the rest of the week. I will be out tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, visiting my mom, doing some things up in the Metroplex as well. And I'm also guest lecturing in North Texas tomorrow. So there's some things have been on the calendar for a time. So I'll be out the rest of this particular week. And then I also noticed, let's see, of course, this was unplanned. Bucky Godbold, of course, with his with a little bit of a health scare the other day. So he's got some medical appointments to take to. So Aaron Hogan's riding solo tomorrow. So Jeff Howe is riding solo tomorrow. And then I'm trying to remember, is it Kevin Dunn who's out tomorrow? So three of the shows will have the guys riding solo there tomorrow. We're beyond Mercury in retrograde now. We're beyond that. So, but like I said, it's a catch-up week for a lot of us as well. And we're glad to have you alongside as well. We're going to catch up with Hank Carter, head coach of the Lake Travis Cavaliers, coming up a little later this half hour. Our weekly conversation. To get it, we did not have the opportunity to visit with Coach Carter last week because he was tied up in some meetings as he was getting caught up on some things. But they're coming off the win over Del Valle and getting ready for Bowie. So we'll visit with Coach Carter coming up on that. Then a little bit, we have some of our obviously our regular features at the bottom of the hour. We have our Longhorn notebook later this hour. Inconceivable. And so we'll have that. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, a special guest. We had him on last year when The Last Dance, the big documentary series about the Chicago Bulls, the Michael Jordan-led Chicago Bulls was going on. Tom Doerr, who lives back here in the greater Austin area, who was the play-by-play voice of the Bulls on television back then. Tom Doerr, for a lot of folks going further back, was at one time a play-by-play voice of the Texas Longhorns. He was. And then the Missouri Tigers. And Tom will join us. We're working with him to help him. He's guest hosting a radio show back where he went to college in Columbia, Missouri, and is using one of our studios. So he's coming in and said, hey, why don't you pop in and spend a little time with us? So that's why. He'll be with us, and we're on the advent of another NBA season, and Tom still follows the NBA closely. We'll get his thoughts on that. So we have all of those things coming. Of course, we have our Whataburger Top 5 coming up here shortly. That's our Double Meat with Cheese edition on Tuesdays. That is our the brand-new top 10 statewide rankings, 5A down through 1A in the top 25 and 6A. So we have that coming up here in just a few moments. Jeff Howe may be out today. Our producer is not. He's always in. He's always in a good mood, or at least tries to be. He's Jonathan John Donaldson, J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel, the purveyor of all good things and the major domo of Flex ATX, because after all, in the final analysis, it's a flex. Good morning to you, Snoop.
What's up?
Look at you wearing your Spurs hat in recognition. Now, the Spurs don't play till tomorrow, if
correct.
I remember correctly, right? They open tomorrow. But the start of the NBA's diamond anniversary season is tonight, two games tonight. So 75 years in existence, the NBA. It started off as it really wound up being an amalgamation of two leagues, the Basketball Association of America, which is really kind of the anchor of what became in the NBL, and the two merged and became the NBA. But this is the diamond anniversary season of it, and you're fired up for it.
Yeah, two games tonight, Brooklyn at Milwaukee, the NBA champions, by the way, if you're a casual NBA fan. And then a game I think is pretty exciting to cap, Golden State at the Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the late night.
Russell Westbrook is a Laker. Which I know as a UCLA kid, this is like a dream come true for him. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about that. Somebody asked on the Specs text line, what happened with Bucky? He just had a little healthcare thing the other night after the Lake Travis game. He's been in the last couple of days, but he's just going to go in and have a few more tests done and things like that. So going on there. Somebody said, who knew you were such an authority in the Battle of Yorktown? As a former U.S. history teacher does by heart. I was a double minor of history and political science in college and always people have been around me know I like big thick books on American history. It's almost like that line from Anchorman. I have many leather-bound books. Mine are not leather-bound. I just have a lot of books I like reading on American history. So it was a big moment, obviously, in what became United States history, for sure. Somebody said, I'm a diehard Texas fan. I believe in this coaching staff, and I know Sark will turn this around. Tired of the negativity. Be patient with them and hook them. Absolutely. And I think by and large, most folks get it. They understand it's 7 games into the first season of this coaching staff. I think most understand that. But, you know, there's people impatient, and they see things going on in other programs, and so they want it flipped. They want it turned. Understand that as well. It's just I said it before the season began. This is going to take some time. It's going to take some time for the system, the culture, all of those kinds of things that happen with a new coaching staff to take root. All of that is kind of understood, although I think a lot of fans may understand that part of it less and may, you know, what takes so long to get a specific culture in place and all that. That's one thing, and it's a word that's thrown around quite a bit, especially with college athletics these days. But more's the point. I think one thing that's important to keep in mind is it's going to take some time for them to get all of the players in that they want as well. The recruiting definitely has to be on the rise, and I'm sure that'll be a big part of what's going on. We've read the stories and we've seen a lot of stuff about recruiting and the big on-campus visits and things of that nature. So all of that's part of it. And so that's why I say these things take time. As somebody said, Craig likes big books and he cannot lie. That is true. I cannot lie. I do. I have less time to read big books this time of year than I do in, you know, some other times. So I have that sort of stuff. You say it takes some time, yet CDC and Sark said we have to win now. Of course they're going to say that because they want that. The fan base is not going to want somebody to say, hey, this is going to take a few years to build. No, nobody wants to hear that. It does not disguise the reality that things like this do take some time to build. They're not going to say this is going to take some time to build. And by when I say some time, I don't know what the time frame is on it. I don't know if it's 2 years or 4 years. I don't know. I don't know. I know a lot of people don't have. And I also know this. You can't. I've been around it enough over the years to know that you can't put a number on and say, we're turning this thing around in 1 year. We're turning this thing around. No, coaches are going to say the things that are important to say in terms of, and they believe it as well. They're not just saying it to say it, they believe it. But they also know in the back of their minds the obstacles that are at hand. So Dan says, Horn fans have been waiting a while, so we might as well be patient. So that's where it is. So those are the things. It says it didn't take Baylor any time. No, it did take some time. They went 1-11 right after that. And you say Baylor, it didn't take them any time to what? They had a losing record last year, and they have a winning record this year. So you say any time. It didn't take them any time to what? Are they a contender now in the Big 12? Yeah, they are. Haven't won the conference title yet since they've had their last coaching change. So it has taken a little bit of time for that. And it took some time getting through last year into this year. It does. It just, things like that are just going to be with it. So anyway, that's just some thoughts about that. Okay, before we get to our conversation with Hank Carter, let's go to our Whataburger Top 5.
It's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's Double Meat with Cheese Edition.
Here we go.
Top 10 rankings.
Maybe I should have said it's going to take time to have the music and the intro and all that stuff fire, right?
I got mesmerized from the battle war hymn.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right.
There you go.
Okay, do that. Whataburger Top 5. It's the Double Meat with Cheese Edition, which means double the 5 to make it 10 for the brand new top 10 high school statewide polls across the state of Texas, according to Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. And in 6A, we know it's a top 25. It's not a top 10 because they don't split it into Division I and Division II until you get to the playoffs. Now, we're starting to get a read on which teams might go Division I and which ones might go Division II. We know, for example, that Lake Travis is definitely going to be Division I. We know that Westlake's going to be Division II. But there's enough uncertainty in the battle for that fourth playoff spot. For example, if Del Valle gets in as the fourth team, it pushes Bowie down to Division II. If Aikens or San Marcos were to get that fourth spot, Bowie stays Division I. So we'll see where it goes from there. But that's why things aren't completely settled on some of the playoff races and which teams go Division I and Division II. But we do have a top 25. And Westlake still remains number one. In fact, the top three are the same. Westlake is one, Katy is two, and South Lake Carroll is three. Denton Guyer dropped from the fourth spot after losing to Allen. South Lake Carroll is three, as I mentioned. Duncanville back installed at number four. Atascocita is five. Rockwall Heath is six. Spring Westfield is seven. Galena Park North Shore is eight. Lake Travis now into the top 10 further. They climb one more spot. They're ninth now, are the Cavaliers, coming off the win over Del Valle and getting ready for Bowie this week. And Allen up to number 10 following its win over Denton Guyer. The Eagles are 10. Guyer, one spot below that, fell from 4th to 11th. Spring is 12th. Brennan High from the north side of San Antonio is 13. Rockwall, 14. Arlington Martin is 15. Euless Trinity is 16. Top 20 closes out with Cibolo Steel, Midland Legacy, Cy Park, Louisville, and Vandegrift holding. Louisville's at 20, and Vandegrift holds at number 21. The last part of the top 25, Smithson Valley is 22, the Woodlands 23, C.E. King of Houston's 24, and they play Galena Park North Shore this week. Big game there. And Fort Bend Ridge Point is number 25. Okay, so that's the top 25 in 6A. Everything else is a top 10 because it's already split into divisions. So 5A Division 1, top 3 hold their spots. Denton Ryan is 1, College Station is 2, and Highland Park is 3. Longview, after its loss to Highland Park, had fallen, and they and Highland Park, Amarillo Tascos is 4, Corpus Christi Vets Memorial is 5, Colleyville Heritage 6, Longview 7, Frisco Lone Star 8, Katy Peyto is 9, and Fort Bend Hightower is number 10. 5A Division 2 rankings: Aledo is 1, Fort Bend Marshall 2, Lovejoy 3, Ennis 4, Lubbock Cooper 5, South Oak Cliff 6, Texas High of Texarkana 7, Wichita Falls Riders 8, Frisco is 9, Alamo Heights is 10. 4A Division 1, LBJ still number 1 are the Jags, and they have Lampasas this week. Stephenville 2, El Campo 3, Melissa 4, Argyle 5, Kilgore 6, Midlothian Heritage is 7, Kaufman 8, Wichita Falls Hershey is 9, and Cal Allen of the Corpus Christi area is number 10. 4A D2, Carthage is still number 1. In fact, the top 10 remains unchanged. Carthage, Gilmer, Salina, West Orange, Stark, China Spring, Belleville, Van, Navarro, who plays Wimberley this week, big matchup there, is 8. Cuero is 9, and Sitton is 10. The following week is the Cuero-Smithville showdown that could be coming just down the pike.
Shouts out to Smithville.
Tigers are on a roll. They won again last week. Then you get to 3A Division 1, still the same. Jim Nat High of Tuscola is number one. Brock, Hallettsville, Industrial, Yoakum, Mount Vernon, West, Grandview, Tatum, and Lorena. 3A Division II, also unchanged in its top 10. Franklin, Gunner, Childress, Holiday, West Rusk, Newton, Wascom, Canadian, Abernathy, and Idaloo. 2A Division I, also identical from a week ago. Refurio still number one. Shiner still number two. I do expect that those two teams are going to roll unbeaten all the way to a massive showdown in the state quarterfinals. That's on down the road. Timpson is three, followed by Crawford, Cisco, Hawley, New Deal, Mason, Beckville, and Forsan. There could be another couple of big showdowns coming up in the next 2 weeks there. 2A Division II. Also, the top 10, almost unchanged. There's a little bit of shakeup at the bottom. MART is still number one. Munster is now number two after their win over Windthorst. Windthorst 3, Albany, Wellington, Stratford, Fall City, El Dorado, Tenahaw, and Groover. In 1A, six-man, Division One. It is May, Sterling City, Jonesboro, Abbott, Water Valley, Rankin, Spring Lake, Earth, Garden City, Ira, and Hermley. And then 1A, six-man, Division II is the same, almost the same, little change at the bottom. Motley County, Strawn, Richland Springs, Balmoray, Follett, Anton, Jayton, Throckmorton, Benjamin, and Klondike. So there it is, your Whataburger double meat with cheese edition of the top 10. So there it is. All right, coming up, we'll visit with Hank Carter, head coach of the Lake Travis Cavaliers, when we continue to light the tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Bucky and Ed.
This is Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Snoop Daniel alongside as well. It's time for our weekly conversation with the head coach of the Lake Travis Cavaliers, joining us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline for our weekly visit, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Check them out on the web at cpdoors.com. Hank Carter joins us now. Hank, I appreciate the time. How are you this morning?
I'm doing really good. How about you guys?
Great. We've talked about your guys staying healthy as you turn the far turn and starting to head down the last 3 weeks of the regular season. Can you still make that claim? Are you guys still, by and large, pretty healthy? Or have you been able to get some guys back who had been banged up?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, we're, pretty happy with our overall team health. We've got some guys that are still dinged up just a little bit. But, to be honest, once you've played six, seven, eight ball games, you start getting down to that, you're going to have a few guys that are out. And so we've got some guys that get limited in practice here and there. But for the most part, we've got, most of the team that we started with. We do have a couple of kids that were backups that are out, and we haven't gotten them back yet. But, again, got 75 players, and we only have two or three of them that are really going to be missing considerable time. That's actually pretty good for this time of year.
This is also the time of year, Hank, where I ask you kind of for an update on the progress that you've seen of your JV and sophomore freshman programs and your middle school programs as well, because I know you obviously keep close tabs on the development of those young men as they draw closer to their varsity seasons for you.
Yeah, so that's a great question. It was, we had some storms roll through last week, and so Lake Travis Middle School and Hudson Bend got their game canceled at halftime. So we allowed them to come and play the second half of that ball game on Thursday, and Coach Drinkwater and I went ahead and served as the officials. And so that was pretty cool to watch them. Those teams got to come and play here at Cavalier Stadium and finish up their second half, and Hudson Bend got a win. And then last night I was able to go watch BK Middle School play Dripping Springs with the seventh graders, and we were able to get a win over a really good Dripping Springs team. So the middle schools are doing great. Our freshman and sophomore and JV teams, we're playing a unique schedule, and we've got a lot more teams than most of the folks in the area. So we're playing, it feels like we play Lake Belton and Johnson and some of these newer schools down towards Bel Verde, kind of like the best two out of three with all of our sub-varsity.
Wow.
But our kids are getting better. And it's a crazy schedule to keep up with, but we're getting after it.
I love that you kind of outline that for folks who may not realize how challenging it can be for a football program that has multiple sub-varsity teams just to be able to get scheduled. What goes into a process of trying to make sure you can get enough regular game schedule for those guys?
Yeah, it's tough. It's part of the fact that, we have a lot of involvement in football. The first day of football this year, we had 415 kids come out. It's unbelievable. We're down to, probably 380 or so but we have six high school football teams, so three freshmen, two JV, and a varsity. Most of the teams in our district are playing one or two freshman teams and one JV. And so, for the most part, we're looking for at least three sub-varsity games every single week. And we are fortunate in the fact, though, that Austin and San Marcos, Kyle, and San Antonio are growing areas. And so typically what we do is we just go match up with a new school, and we play their only JV, we play their only freshman team with one of our B or C bunches. And it's not always a real even match. Those guys are actually usually really, really well coached. And it's some of their more they're more mature, more athletic kids. But it gets us games, and that's great for our kids. We're trying to get as many games in for those guys as we can.
We're visiting with Lake Travis Cavaliers head coach Hank Carter here on Light the Tower on the Horn. Craigway and Snoop Daniel.
Coach, I wanted to shout out Kimberly Kobler because she's doing such a great job helping cover the team. And one guy I really noticed is Griffin Willis, number 99, just a junior. It looked like a beast. Can you tell us a little about him?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I actually coached Griffin's older brother years ago, and his older brother Ian. And, you know, Griffin started out as a guy that was a tight end, kind of a fullback body type, maybe even a linebacker in middle school. He was a good basketball player. And so I always kept an eye on him. I thought he would be a great candidate for, to be a defensive tackle if he continued to get bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, the guy's like 6'2", 275, and is just, you know, really one of the most powerful kids. He'll be one of the most powerful kids to ever come through our program by the time he's done. But, yeah, very pleased with him. Athletic kid, loves it. He's all about football and is really, really smart. And so I've been real pleased with his development so far.
I'm going to guess, Hank, there's another area of your football team you're very pleased with, the development, and that's the key word, development, starting from week one, and that's your special teams. And in specific, if I were just to go to one area, kickoffs, kickoff coverage, things like that. I remember early on at the start of the season, you said it was an area your guys wanted to shore up a little bit. Looks like they've made some big plays covering kicks. You've gotten kicks out of the end zone as well. That I know has been a little bit of a process. You're pleased with what you've seen out of that group?
Yeah, I am. I'm really proud of that bunch. And Coach Kevin Hoffman is our special teams coordinator. He probably lost some hair and gained some gray hair from starting out without any kickers or really punters with any experience. And so that's a challenge. And so really, to be honest with you, he's done a great job putting those units together. And we've seen them get better and better every week. So that's a testament to the work and planning that he's done. And, you know, the other assistants help out with that, but really Kevin is the guy that spearheads our special teams, and the kids have bought in. They understand what we're trying to get accomplished. And again, Coach Hoffman's had great plans week in and week out.
Hank, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, because we haven't really asked you that much other than a time or two, because it's been one of those obvious things, but Derek Johnson's development and what he's been able to give you at such a young age to do the things he's done.
Yeah, he's just been incredible. We've asked him to do pretty much everything except for maybe work on Coach Drinkwater's car, but he could probably do that too. He plays offense, he plays defense, he catches the ball. He's a very physical blocker. He scored multiple touchdowns on defense. You know, he's a very, very explosive kid and powerful all at the same time. And so I know that he is, I'm sure, one of the guys that is relieved that it's not so hot outside, because when you're playing as many snaps as he does, when it was 95 degrees, that was a lot bigger challenge. And I'm just excited for him. You won't meet a better kid, a more humble kid. And I've said this to anybody that'll listen: if my kids turn out to be half the person that DJ is, then I'll have done a great job along with my wife. So couldn't say enough good things about him, and he's made a ton of plays for us.
Coach, I want to ask you one more question about a player that I don't know a lot about, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but the players seem to love him. Number 75, Adrian.
Yes. So we call him Big Mo. We
okay,
can't
yes.
pronounce either of his names either, but it's Zomo or Adekai. And, you know, Big Mo came to us. He moved here in between middle school and high school from the Houston area, and we really just fell in love with the kid. He's a super outgoing guy, and without a helmet on, he's probably the nicest, most friendliest kid in the world. And then he puts a helmet on, and he's just a nasty football player. He's got a chance to be one of the best offensive linemen to come through this place. He's got really good feet and super intelligent kid, and just gets it and plays hard and is nasty. And so we are very, very pleased with him, and just look forward to him just getting bigger and stronger and better and better.
Visiting with Hank Carter, head coach of Lake Travis Cavaliers, here on Light the Tower. Okay, here's another one of those district showdowns, and the way that your program has played at such a high level over the past decade plus, and the way that Westlake has played, you guys have kind of separated yourself. Yet there are, and we've talked about this, other contenders, other teams that contend for playoff spots, other teams that'll test your program. And I know you feel that way about Coach Abel's program over at Bowie as you get ready to take on the Bulldogs this week. What does Bowie look like to you when you look at him on film?
No, I think they're a really, really good football team. I know that they're extremely well coached. Their kids are always gritty and play tough. They play nasty. They play hard. Last year, they were very thin on the offensive line, and so that wasn't a typical Bowie offense from what we had been accustomed to seeing. I think that they look like they've shored that up. They're missing their starting quarterback, but their backup has come in and played really well. They've got, some skill kids back from a year ago. Certainly the running back has had a lot of success. And defensively, they run a three down and they blitz from every angle you could possibly do. So it puts a lot of pressure on the offense. And so, yeah, I think they look like a dang good football team, a dangerous team that we're going to have to be ready to play. And, our kids understand that Bowie always does a great job. We always have a good football team over there and that we've got to be ready to go.
And always, things are always a little bit different when you're on the road as opposed to playing a home game, even though it isn't that far away to get on the bus and go over there. It's always a different mindset, isn't it, when you get away from Cavalier Stadium?
Yeah, we get on the Yellow Dogs and make the short trip over. We love playing over at Burger. I think it's a really cool stadium. Won't have any issues. We sold out our home side, and I think we sold another 1,000 tickets on the Del Valle side last week for ours. So there'll be plenty of room for our fans. Won't have to worry about any of that. But it's going and playing on the road, going over and playing in their backyard to be a good test for us.
All right. Hey, Hank, I appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us. Best of luck on Friday night.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
All right. That's Hank Carter, head coach of the Lake Travis Cavaliers. They play Bowie over at Burger on Friday night. You can hear the Lake Travis broadcast of it right here on the Horn. Mark Honig, Bucky Godbolt, Stu Myrick, and that will come your way. Obviously, Snoop gets his start of Flex ATX, and Snoop will actually start on 101.9 and AM 1260 at 6 o'clock in the evening because of the Vandegrift 7 o'clock kick. Vandy, by the way, will play Westwood this week, and that game for Vandegrift will be at Monroe Stadium. So Flex ATX begins at 6 o'clock on 101.9 and AM 1260. How are you liking that, by the way, Snoop? You liking that the early start for the primarily Vandegrift audience, starting it off at 6 o'clock and then everybody else joining the party at 6:30?
Yeah, now that ACL Fest is over, 6 o'clock is lot easier. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's on 101.9 and 1260 at 6, and then at 6:30 with the full hour pregame, because remember, Vandegrift is at 7, so that the Viper fans get the full Snoop treatment, the full Flex ATX experience, the full hour of that, including the 15 minutes from the stadium. We started at 6 o'clock on 101.9 and AM 1260, and then on the side for Lake Travis and for Bowie, who just happened to be playing each other this week, with those 7:30 kickoffs, start at 6:30, go up to 7:15, and again, on the Horn, it'll be Mark Honig, Bucky Godbolt, Stu Myrick here on the Horn on 104.9, and then, of course, on 105.3 The Bat, you can hear the Bowie broadcast with Dee Hansen and Steve Foster, and again, it'll go to the booth to them at 7:15, so you can have your choice of those two broadcasts. So that's our weekly visit with Hank Carter. Right now, it's time for the Notebook.
Horn Notebook.
Yeah.
Longhorn Notebook.
There it is. Longhorn Notebook.
Yeah, not only the notebook, but the Longhorn Notebook.
The Longhorn Notebook. A step away from football for the moment toward basketball, because as we speak right now, are delivering this program, Texas women's and men's basketball are going through Big 12 basketball media days. For the women today, and for the men tomorrow, and maybe you saw it, the AP Top 10 poll came out for basketball, the Top 25. And in the Top 25, the Texas Longhorns are number five in the AP rankings. So just to let you know Chris Beard will have a top five ranked team. And coming up in 2 days, we'll have a special basketball tip-off preview Longhorn Basketball Show with Chris Beard live at Pluckers, the West Campus location. That's at 2222 Rio Grande at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. This being an open date on the football schedule, there was not a football program planned as there is usually not during an open date week anyway. But because we have the open date on the schedule, we want to give everybody, I know there's a lot of folks getting excited about Longhorn Basketball as well, so we wanted to give folks a little Longhorn Basketball preview show. So Coach Beard will come over. We'll also visit with a player or two. That'll be this Thursday night, a special basketball preview edition of Longhorn Weekly live at 7 o'clock from Pluckers, the West Campus location at 2222 Rio Grande. You're invited to come on out and hear from Coach Beard and players and enjoy a good time and conversation. And, of course, a great place for Winks as well. Snoop, before we get to the break, it pointed out by our erstwhile audience, our always paying attention audience, that not all of the rankings on the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine website were updated. In fact, there were a couple, especially in 5A Division II and a couple of other ones, that were not updated. So I reached out to Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine, and he said, yep. He goes, our bad. Didn't get it updated on the website. He has sent me
Whoa.
The new ranking. So we're going to do it right now. Let's go to, give me that. Yeah, give me some Flex ATX. All right, here's some Flex ATX. You want the new rankings? You got the new rankings. Here they are at 6A. Like I said, the top A are identical. The top three are identical. Westlake, Katy, and South Lake Carroll. Then it's Duncanville, Atascocita, Rockwall Heath, Spring Westville, Galena Park, North Shore. Lake Travis is 9, and Allen is number 10. Then it is Denton, Guyer, Spring, Brennan, Rockwall, Arlington Martin, Euless Trinity, Cibolo Steel, Midland Legacy, Cy Park, and Louisville. Vandegrift is 21. Then it's Smithson Valley, The Woodlands, C.E. King, and Ridge Point to finish the 6A top 25. Here is your new 5A Division I top 10. And it is just a little bit of shakeup. Denton Ryan is 1. Highland College Station 2. Highland Park is 3. Amarillo Atascosa is 4. Corpus Christi Veterans Memorial is 5. Colleyville Heritage, 6. Frisco Lone Star moves from 8 to 7. Longview drops from 7 to 8 even after a 56-14 win over Sherman. Katy Peyto is 9, and they play Fort Bend Hightower this week, the number 10 team in the poll. 5A Division 2, new top 10, Aledo, Fort Bend Marshall, Lucas Lovejoy, Ennis, Lubbock Cooper, South Oak Cliff, Texas High of Texarkana, Frisco, Montgomery, and Alamo Heights. 4A Division 1, LBJ is number 1. In fact, the top 10 is identical. LBJ, Stephenville, El Campo, Melissa, Argyle, Kilgore, Midlothian Heritage, Kaufman, Wichita Falls, Hershey, and Cal Allen of Corpus Christi. 4A Division 2, likewise, identical. Carthage, Gilmer, Salina, West Orange Star, China Spring, Belleville, Van, Navarro, who, as we mentioned, from Geronimo, taking on Wimberley this week. Cuero and Sinton, 3A Division 1. Gymnet, Brock, Hallettsville, Industrial, Mount Vernon is up to 5. West is 6. Grandview is 7. And West and Grandview, I believe, play next week. Lorena, Tatum, and Columbus, 3A D2. Franklin, Gunner, Childress, Holiday, West Rusk, Abernathy, Newton, Wascom Canadian, and Lubbock Roosevelt in the poll for the first time in 3A D2. 2A Division 1 is, as we mentioned, identical. Refurio, Shiner, Timpson, Crawford, Cisco, Hawley, New Deal, Mason, Beckville, and Forsan. 2A Division 2, Munster is at 2. We mentioned that there were a couple of that were updated, but 5A in specific and one of the 4A rankings were not updated. Mark Munster, Winthorst, Albany, Wellington, Stratford, Falls City, El Dorado, Tenaha and Groover, 1A Division 1, May, Sterling City, Jonesboro, Abbott, Water Valley, Rankin, Spring Lake, Earth, Garden City, Ira and Hermley, and in 1A D2, it's Motley County, Strawn, Richland Springs, Balmoray, Follett, Anton, Jayton, Throckmorton, Benjamin, and Klondike. Somebody asked about the private school rankings. Yeah, we got those. 11-man private school rankings. They have a top 5. Number 1 in the state, Regents. Regents is number 1. Parish Episcopal of Dallas is 2. Houston Second Baptist, 3rd. Nolan Catholic of Fort Worth is 4th. And Episcopal School of Dallas is 5th. And private 6-man,
Waco Live Oak won. Marble Falls Faith Academy is two. Bracken Christian Bulverde is third. Veritas of Austin is number four, coming off the loss to Faith, the number two team in the state, Faith Academy of Marble Falls. And Texas School for the Deaf is number five. So there's your private school six-man rank. So we got a little update on those as well as the other ones. So there's that. Somebody asked when Big 12 media is. It's going on right now. Women today, men tomorrow for basketball. They don't televise it like they do with football ranking. The football media days, they don't televise those. So there it is, those topics. And somebody said, assuming both will still be undefeated, do you think the winner of Drip and Johnson matchup next week will have a shot to be in the top 10? Also curious what the computer thinks about it. Yeah, I think both will be unbeaten. And
Seguin, I think, will push Johnson this week. People are not talking about the Seguin Matadors.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So we'll see. That has to happen first.
Yep, it has to happen first to get the update. I will tell you this. If they are both unbeaten, I think the television show that I'm a part of on Friday night is going to have a reporter. There's going to be live stuff going on. That would be a huge game between Buta Johnson and clearly in Drip next Friday night from Drip and Springs, if that indeed happens. Our good friend Tom McKay says, where's Jesuit Dallas right now? They're not, Tom. They're not. Let me tell you how Jesuit is doing right now. They are 6-1, and they are 4-0 in the district, and the computer likes them by 42 points against Berkner this week. So there you go. But they're not in the top 10, at least not, or even in the top 25 yet in 6A, at least not yet. All right, up next, we have Inconceivable as we continue to light the tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, you keep using the Horn. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Under regular circumstances, what we normally like to do with Inconceivable is kind of mix up a bit of things, like of the technological, the bizarre, the weird, the strange, and yes, also of the fast food variety as well. So we do try to mix that in there as well. And with Jeff Howe out today, and knowing how much Snoop enjoys a good fast food update.
I do.
I've got that for you. And not only do I have that for you, anytime I mention anything about the prospect of free, Snoop's ears perk up a little bit, right?
Yes. My favorite four-letter word.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that's geez.
You're a Taco Bell guy, right?
Yeah. I like, in specific, the Cool Ranch or the flavored taco.
The Doritos Ranch Taco?
Yes.
Well, do you do breakfast there?
I haven't.
Well, maybe here's your opportunity. 2 days from now, Thursday, Taco Bell is offering free breakfast burritos at all of its United States restaurants. Giveaway runs between 7 in the morning and 11 in the morning. And trying to remind folks that breakfast has returned at roughly 90% of their locations after being temporarily paused because of the pandemic. So they're saying, we're back. Breakfast is back. They began serving breakfast back in 2014. They expanded the menu for the morning in March 2020, just days before the pandemic brought the country to a standstill, and it forced a significant chunk of its restaurants to stop selling it. So this option historically has made up about 6% of its total sales. It's now returned to roughly 7,000 of its locations. So free breakfast burritos. There's one with egg, sausage, and nacho cheese sauce. Another one has eggs, potato bites, pico de gallo, a three cheese blend, and either bacon or sausage. And another option contains eggs, the three cheese blend, hash browns, and bacon or sausage. Does that sound like that'll work for you?
Sounds delicious, actually. Well, I wish they opened before 7, but...
Yeah. So it'll definitely work for you since it's free on Thursday,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes.
So you can give it a shot for free and see. Okay. All right. Now, here's something from a traditional breakfast place that's trying to go a little bit different, and that's IHOP. IHOP is hoping their latest menu addition will bring customers in for lunch and dinner. So they announced yesterday they have a new line of sandwich melts. They have a roasted turkey melt, a pulled pork melt, a buffalo chicken melt. Just the use of the word melt gets some folks interested. And even a cheese melt, which is three cheeses on cheese-crusted bread with a cheesy dipping sauce. Any interest in that? Maybe a lunch run in the mornings there? That's what they're wanting. That's what they're hoping to target there.
All right. Well, I might try it. Okay. I hadn't been great the last couple times I've been there.
Okay. All right.
A little jaded.
I got you. Okay. Have you heard what Kanye West is up to now?
What's he up to now?
He's up to changing his name. He's not Kanye anymore. He's just Ye.
Oh, yeah. Y-E?
Yeah.
Ye.
Yeah. He yesterday was granted the change officially in a California courthouse after he filed a petition to change his name in August. So he filed paperwork to change his name, born Kanye Omari West. He'll be known as Ye. Yeah. He said he had hinted at it as far back as a couple of years ago when he released the studio album Ye.
Yes.
And then later tweeted the being formerly known as Kanye West, I'm Ye. Now it's official. He had it done yesterday. He's just Ye. So you good with that?
Yeah, I guess
Ye?
So. Yeah. Well, is it like Prince? But Prince changed his name to a symbol. That's right. More significant.
The artist formerly known as that kind of thing. You said you're not much of a swimming person, right?
I don't know how to swim.
Okay. So that makes you not much of a beach person? Is that the deal?
No, I guess I might hang out around a beach. Just don't go into too deep of water.
Okay. So you haven't ever been on a boogie board?
No.
Never been on a boogie board. Okay. They're fun. The man who invented the boogie board, and it was an influential figure in the surfing world, Tom Morey, has passed away due to complications from a stroke. He was 86. It was Morey who introduced more human beings to the act of wave riding than any other single person in history, according to the